Alisa, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
So, Alisa, how many workers in Australia completely openly identify as members of the LGBTI community?
Okay, so we did some research about 6 months ago called Out at Work, and in that, we were able to determine that if you condensed all workers in Australia, or all LGBTIQ plus workers in Australia into 100 people, that only 32 of them would be out to everybody. 38 would be out to most people, 25 would only be out to some people, and 5 would be out to no one. So a lot lower than what we had expected following the success of the Yes campaign for marriage equality.
Well, why do you believe such a small percentage of people do not express this?
Well, I think it's important to note that some people who are part of the LGBTIQ plus community talk about the needing to come out all the time or regularly. And in a day, if you are gay or lesbian in the workplace or transgender or intersex, just in general conversation, you might need to constantly qualify your orientation or your gender identity, either to your colleagues or even more broadly to your workplace or clients or customers, if it's relevant. And so this process of having to constantly come out, because people in Australia tend to default to an assumption that most people are straight, and so you have to constantly out yourself to sort of clarify that. And for some people, it's exhausting, and so they just don't bother. They say my partner without qualifying that the partner's of the same sex, even though they can reasonably predict that the other person's assuming that it's an opposite sex partner. And so it's an exhausting process for some people. And for others, you know, they're frightened of people's reaction as well. So it's a combination of both of those things.
What effect can the lack of inclusion have, particularly for those who identify with LGBTI?
Well, we know from this and other research that we've done is if you don't feel included in the workplace and you don't feel as though people understand your whole self, it can have real impact, not just on you personally, but also more broadly on the organisation. So for individuals themselves, they might have a sense of not fitting in, of not being part of the main group. There could be instances of harassment or discrimination. They might just feel invisible in the workplace because they're not part of the dominant culture. All of those things have an impact on productivity, on someone's capacity to innovate, on how good they feel about their workplace and how keen they are to give discretionary effort. So there are really important lessons that businesses can learn by creating workplaces where people who are LGBTIQ plus feel safe to identify as being that way and be accepted for who they are.
If you just tuned into The Daily, we're speaking with Lisa Anise, a Chief Executive of Diversity Council Australia, about the experiences of those who identify as LGBTI in the workplace, particularly in the mining industry. So what work needs to be done by company leaders to ensure inclusion policies and diversity is supported by workers on the ground?
Okay, so we've developed a sort of six-step solution for this, and you know, for some organisations this will be easier than others. I mean, it has to be said that organisations are not just great monolithic entities, but you might have pockets in workplaces that are really, really progressive and really good, and then you might have others that are really hostile. So even within one organisation, the experience of two individuals could be entirely different. But we do know that if you go to lengths to make people visible, but not too visible. So things like, you know, in the marriage equality debate, organisations that came out strongly in support of same-sex marriage, you know, sent a message to their workplace that, you know, we've got your back. And that sort of increased visibility of respect was really important to people in those organisations. You need to work on things if you have issues around harassment and discrimination. I mean, not only is that a legal risk, but it's extremely detrimental to people who experience that. We recommend organisations focusing on the language that they use. So simple things like, you know, in your policy manual, if you've got a parental leave policy, make specific mention of same-sex couple families or other types of families so that people don't just, you know, fall back on an assumption that parental leave is for straight couples who are in traditional family arrangements. But there are other things such as challenging assumptions and undertaking initiatives that work to build culture in an organisation as well. So it, you know, it depends on where you are, but it's an understanding that it's not just about what the leaders say and do and what the policies are. It's about the interaction that every individual has with every other person in the workplace every day. So focusing on managers is really important.
Well, kind of going on along that track, Alcoa has developed an inclusion group and program called Eagle. Can you just explain this program and how effective is it?
Look, special programs for LGBTIQ plus individuals, as well as, you know, organisations who might run women's networks or, you know, networks for Indigenous employees. Those things are really important. I mean, they firstly send a sign that the organisation is serious about inclusion, but then they also provide a forum for people who are in the minority in the organisation to be able to come together, and it's a bit like support. If you're only one of a few and you see other people like you and you're able to come together, it can provide a really good platform to discuss issues, to raise concerns. But depending on how the network runs, really has an impact on how successful it will be. So if your goal is just to have a network that's there to provide support to people, then that's fine. If you actually want your network to create change in a workplace, then you need to do other things, such as have someone from senior management sitting in on that network, or have an avenue for the network to report into the leadership team on particular issues and to make sure that those issues are heard and taken seriously. So the networks are a great starting place for support and for a sense of cohesion, but they're not the only thing that organisations can do to create inclusion.
Well, hopefully we can see a few more companies take on inclusion. That'd be really great to see. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure.